Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, podcast listeners. Welcome to the JS Online Packers Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Silverstein. I'll be with you for the next 17 hours as we... No, not really. It'll just be for 20-25 minutes. But I'm here nonetheless and doing this solo. I'm excited to be here once again. And I wanted to focus on some rule changes that are going on through the, that we'll, you'll see this year in the NFL. And I think they're fairly significant. And because the NFL officials were here this week, they usually come in for 3 days. It's their own kind of training camp. They were able to talk to the media and give us some idea of what exactly these changes are going to be. And I think it's kind of interesting. I know you want updates on the Packers, and I will give you a little bit at the end here. But first, I really would like to get into this rule change because some of it does involve Packer plays. Previously, most notably, Aaron Rodgers, the Anthony Barr hit on Aaron Rodgers is in part one of the reasons one of these rules is taking place. So to get started, the number one rule and the thing you'll hear the most about is the use of helmet rule. And essentially what you're going to see is that players that launch with their helmet, players that lead with their helmet, including running backs who try to use the helmet to gain an advantage, are going to face severe penalty, 15 yards, and the possibility of ejection on the spot. It's going to be up to the officials to determine whether the player should be ejected. But if there's any question about it, well, actually, it'll sort of be like a turnover. The league office is going to review the tape of the hit to determine whether the player should be ejected. And so you're going to see some players get ejected. Apparently, they had about 8 plays last year that they thought were really egregious, really bad, and they want to clean that up. To get ejected, you're going to have to really launch yourself. You're going to have to hit a defenseless. Well, hitting a defenseless player is part of it. You're going to have to launch yourself. You're going to have to... If they determine that there was a much easier way to tackle the player or the ball carrier and you chose to use your helmet, then you're going to get ejected. So it's going to be real interesting to see. The officials actually threw a flag today on Josh Hawkins. I didn't exactly see the play, but they told him that he led with his helmet as he was approaching the ball carrier, and that would have been a 15-yard penalty. They did not deem it to be an, if this had occurred in real action, they did not deem it to be an ejection. But you're going to see a lot of interest, and really, I think focus for the teams on this kind of play. And it's going to be tough. The players have been playing this way for a long time, and I think it's going to be an adjustment period. And so Mike McCarthy talked about that on Thursday morning, about how his team will have a learning curve and they are going to have an adjustment period. But he feels like they've been schooled in how to tackle.
I think clearly, I mean, you have to remember what we're trying to accomplish here. It's a number of things. You know, number one, the number of egregious hits in the league last year. The goal is clearly to get those out of the game. You know, the helmet is not a weapon. So it's really, from my viewpoint, the emphasizing, you know, the proper tackling techniques in this and that. So just once again, it's when they give it to the – I know history will tell you, I know in my time, whether it's, you know, going back to all the rule changes, if we can get it early enough as coaches and we can get it part of our training, we'll achieve the goal.
So we'll see how that plays out when the regular season gets here. I'm sure we'll see some penalties in the preseason as well. I think the rules are fairly the same about helmet use. It's just that the penalties are going to be much more severe. And so we'll have to see how that plays out. Now, the play I made reference to earlier, the Anthony Barr hit on Aaron Rodgers, is now illegal. If that play had happened this year, if Anthony Barr had driven his full weight into Rodgers, that would be a penalty. Last year it was not. Rodgers was out of the pocket. And when you're out of the pocket, at least according to last year's rules, you're fair game. This year they're saying any player that uses all or most of his weight to fall on top or drive a quarterback, now this only applies to quarterbacks, into the ground is going to be a penalty. And I think we all know that they don't want to see players like Aaron Rodgers get hurt. And that play was very evident, very much a part of this decision.
And it was one of several plays that the competition committee got together and said, you know, we've watched 100 plays. I'll make up a number. We watched 100 plays, and on 75 of them, the defender hit and drove the quarterback to the ground, but he endeavored to get to the side so that he didn't land with all the body weight. He took him to the ground like a good hard tackle, but when he landed, he put his body weight to the side. So we know it can be done because we saw these 75 examples. But these 25, we feel like we don't want anymore.
That is NFL referee Alex Kemp, who was here to speak to the media and also hold a seminar with the players to reinforce the rule changes. And among those, of course, is the Rodgers rule. I think there is some exception to it, and one of those is what happens if Aaron Rodgers pulls the ball down and starts to run. Rodgers is then considered a runner and no longer has the protection of being a passer, and he can be hit anyway other than, of course, in the head. But Anthony Barr could have driven him into the turf as much as he wanted to. Now, another part of the rule that rule changes that we'll see is with quarterbacks who do scramble. And as we all know, you can go into a slide and be protected. The slide begins, the quarterback is, as soon as he begins the slide, is protected and can't be hit. Now, a little bit of a change or addition to that rule is that if the quarterback dives, he's going to get the same protection he would get as if he slid.
And with a sliding quarterback, the instant his body touches the ground, his knee or body part other than hand or foot touches the ground, the play is over. You freeze frame it immediately when that body part touches the ground and where the ball is, and that's where you put it. The exact same thing. When he dives, as soon as a body part other than hand or foot touches the ground, he's down. And they did that, and I'm sure that you've seen several examples of a diving quarterback. They dive, and the defense doesn't know what to do. They don't know whether to tackle. They're trying to jump over top of them. They're trying to avoid contact. And so what they did was to try and make it fair to the defense to say, look, they don't know what to do. So if he dives, we're going to treat it the same way as a sliding quarterback, like a baseball slider.
And so finally, the last thing is the kickoff. And this is going to be really different, the way this is, they formed this rule for kickoffs. I'll let Alex Kemp sort of describe it. He told us he would need hours to really describe what a kickoff's going to look like. But I think what he says here is that mostly they want it to look like a punt. And so they're bringing the front lines together much closer so that there isn't the running start and huge collisions. So I'll let him explain exactly how the formations will look.
You're going to have, it's not going to look like anything that you've seen before. You're going to have five players on each side. It's going to be a balanced formation. This is the kicker's number. Five players on each side. You're going to have two outside the numbers. You're going to have at least two between the hash and the numbers, okay? And they're going to be lined up within 1 yard of the 35-yard line. So they're going to have a foot on the 34-yard line. And they are to remain stationary until the ball is kicked. So they can't, they might be able to sway their body, but their feet have to be planted on the ground until the ball's kicked. Okay? Then the receiving team restraining line is going to be the 45-yard line. And from the 45-yard line to the opposite 40, that 15-yard, they're going to call that the setup zone. And you have to have at least eight players of the receiving team in that 15-yard setup zone. Okay? And then you have to have a maximum of three players back behind that setup zone. Okay? So that's what it's going to look like. They did that in an effort to save the play and to make it more like a punt.
So that is rules primer for today. And I will get into a little bit about practice on Thursday. What to look for Saturday night when they practice at Lambeau Field. I think one of the most interesting plays of training camp came in the 2 minute. And I wrote about this, so if you have time, I wrote about it in detail. You can take a look and read about it if you want to know more information at jsonline.com. It was a two-minute drill. Aaron Rodgers faced a 4th and 10 with 6 seconds left at the 26-yard line. And he drew Vince Beagle off sides with a hard count and then started scrambling to his left. He all of a sudden just heaved the ball, not like a Hail Mary, but just like a high pass, all the way to the opposite corner of the end zone where Geronimo Allison was. And he jumped over rookie Jaire Alexander and hauled the ball in for a touchdown. The remarkable part was that Rodgers never looked over there. And that's why Alexander was not in position to make a play on the ball. He followed Rodgers scrambling, and Rodgers made a no-look pass all the way across the field. It was impressive. And Alexander said afterwards, after teasing the media as though he didn't remember what happened on the play, and no, it wasn't him who gave up the touchdown, but he was being playful. And it's reflected in the story. It was a remarkable play and a good lesson for him that, you know, I think early on in camp, Jamon Moore, the rookie wide receiver, had the same lesson, which is never take your eyes off of Rodgers and expect the unexpected. He's going to throw no-look passes, and that's what he did, and he got Jaire Alexander. I thought today the defense was as good as it's ever been this camp, and it seems like they're starting to gel a little bit. There's still a few broken coverages. Alexander had another broken coverage in which he allowed Randall Cobb down the seam for a touchdown. But, you know, these are things that are going to happen with rookies. And if it's happening in September, then you got a problem. But they need him to work out those errors now so that he can be someone they use later. They are definitely grooming him to be in the slot. He's getting a lot of reps, and he started getting a lot of reps with the number ones. So I think they want his athleticism on the field. He is going to have trouble guarding big receivers. That's going to be an issue. It used to be slot receivers all looked like Wes Welker, but that's not the case anymore. Lots of big receivers in the slot. So that's going to be a challenge for him. But he can really run, and we saw that when he picked off Rodgers a few days ago on a crossing route to Randall Cobb and just jumped the route. I mean, just turned the burners on and beat, cut in front of Cobb and picked the ball off. But defensively, you're starting to see some of Pettine's blitzes and how effective they can be. Rodgers is not used to it. He, you know, for the last 9 years, he was practicing against Dom Capers' defense and knew every bit of every page of the playbook he knew. And so Capers really couldn't do anything to fool him. Pettine can, because he doesn't know his defense inside and out. And I think it's really much better preparation for the offense. They're facing a much tougher defense than they normally would, and it's making them struggle. Rodgers had a fourth down where he threw the ball basically into the ground, had another third and 10 where he just threw it out of bounds because there was nothing there. I've been fairly impressed with the defense. And now, you know, it's really early and there's no live tackling, but you can see they've added some athleticism, especially at the corner position, and they just don't seem to be busting coverages like they would. But let's see how the first preseason game goes next week. We'll get a better idea of how that is going. A few other things. You saw J.K. Scott punt again. Looked pretty good. Hang times were really high. Kind of want to see what he does in the practice in front of 70,000. But, you know, he's not a guy who's going to get fazed by big crowds. He's punted in front of in a national championship, conference championships, every big game you can imagine. And so I don't think that's really an issue. I think the weather's more of an issue for him, or that's the test he has to pass. So we won't know about that for a while. But the guy does have really good hang time. He had a bunch of 4.6, 4.8 second hang times during practice. Also, I guess we're seeing a little bit of Blake Martinez playing a lot. They are definitely full all in on him. And it's sort of scary for them because, you know, they can't afford for him to, for him to get hurt. He is really a vital part. He's going to be on the field four downs. And they are practicing the heck out of him. They're practicing him with every combination just about, with Oren Burks. You know, now that Jake Ryan is out,
they are looking at every combination. Ahmad Thomas, someone they like who can cover. Rookies Greer Martini and Nashawn Hughes they're looking at. So he's getting a workout this summer. But I think Petten really likes him and has big plans for him. As far as the rest of the offense, nothing really big stood out. Davante Adams, I think, is having a really good camp. He just looks really confident, making some really, really nice catches. And they need him to stay healthy. He's a go-to receiver for them. And, you know, if he does stay healthy, I could see him getting 80, 90, maybe even 100 receptions because they just are not very deep at that position. Jimmy Graham's going to be more like a receiver, but, you know, beyond Cobb and Allison, those rookies, it's going to be a tough go for them. I wouldn't expect them to have much of an impact. And if they do have an impact, it would be late. Kind of like Davante Adams did when he was a rookie and Jordy Nelson did when he was a rookie. So we'll see how that plays out. As for the practice on Thursday, on Saturday night. I hope I show up on Saturday night. Otherwise, I'll probably get fired if I don't. It's just going to be a practice. I used to like when they used to do some live tackling, and it was actually a scrimmage. Now it's just a glorified practice, and it's no different than if you were to go out to Ray Nitschke Field. I hate to burst everyone's bubble, but you're paying $10 for a practice that you could see for free out at Ray Nitschke Field. Oh, well, that's just me, Mr. Cynical. I think it'll be good for the players because it just the grind of camp, it's something different. There'll be a crowd. There'll be some electricity. They got to get ready. They've got their first preseason game coming up in less than a week. So we'll see how that goes. I will most likely do a podcast for Monday morning, so you can expect that. And I hope soon that I'll have a partner and you won't just have to listen to me because I imagine that is painful. But it's not painful for me to be on here. I did receive questions from you, and I think what I'll do on Saturday for that podcast is just answer questions. So if you have any more questions, please send them along. Email them to tsilverstein@journalsentinel.com. And I think, boy, I just came up with that right now in my head. Whew. Anyway, yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll just answer questions on Saturday. So send them along, and I hope everyone has a great weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.